So, dear brothers in Christ, last week we studied about type and antitype. Brother Ashish took you into the subject of type and antitype. So, what is the meaning of type and antitype in the Bible? We have seen. So, it clearly shows all the things which are written in the Old Testament like a mirror to us, which reflects and tells so many things about the things which are going to happen in the New Testament. So, therefore, we see that all the things written in the Old Testament are actually a significance of the things which happen in the New Testament, and particularly about our Lord Jesus Christ. And last week, you have definitely seen this example of Abraham and Isaac. So, where Abraham offered his only son Isaac, and God protected Isaac and giving back to Abraham. So, similarly, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son Jesus as a sacrifice. And in return, you see that you see Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So, here we can see all these beautiful things. And definitely, brother would have told you about how Isaac marriage happened, and how Rebecca was found by Eliezer. So all these things we have seen that these pictures are wonderful. You see the gospel age. Okay, now if so many things signify so many things about Christ, about Abraham's life. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Rebecca, if all these things have significance, then surely Abraham's wife also must be having significance. Because we read in the Bible that Abraham married three wives. It is Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah. So, what are these three wives of Abraham, and what does this signify? So, if you see in the Bible, we see that Abraham loved Sarah very much. So even after so many years of you see a relationship did not have any child at all. So as the days went on, Abraham and Sarah were getting old and old. So as days were passing on, Sarah thought that it is not good to be like this. Then she wanted to have a heir. She wanted to have a son. So she compelled an Egyptian servant by name Hagar to marry Abraham and beget a child. So it is after the compulsion of Sarah that you see, Abraham agreed to marry Hagar, an Egyptian servant. So as soon as they were married, you see, immediately a son was born, and his name was named as Ishmael. But even after the birth of Ishmael, God never, you see, forgot his promise. The original promise which God had made to Abraham, that in thy seed shall all the nations of this world be blessed. So, even after the birth of, you see, Ishmael, God again promised and reminded the same promise to Abraham and Sarah that you are now 100 years old and Sarah 90 years old, and they shall have a child. At this, you see, moment, Abraham could not control his joy and laughter. Since he began to, you see, laugh by falling, you see, on the ground and laughed and laughed. That's because of joy and, you see, happiness that even at this old age, God would keep his promise. So, exactly as God promised, Isaac was born. So, Isaac was a wonderful and a beautiful child. And Abraham loved him so much and nurtured him very well in, you see, God's path. And as Isaac was growing, they began to breed, you see, jealousy among Ishmael and Isaac. So there was a, you see, family quarrel, and Ishmael used to tease and rag Isaac. And this was not tolerable for Sarah at all. So Sarah demanded that Abraham divorce Hagar and send them both away. So it was very difficult for Abraham to take this decision. But after You see, much compulsion from Sarah. You see, Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away. But while sending away, he did not give any, you see, a portion of the property. He did not give them any wealth. He gave them just a few loaves of bread and a little bit of water to sustain in the wilderness. So it was very difficult time for both of them. Whatever food they had, whatever water they had, until it was with them, they could, you see, sustain and they could, you see, just pass over. But when everything got exhausted, you see, when the child was at the verge of death, so Hagar had no option but to pray to the Lord to save her son. And that was a time that when she was praying to the Lord at the, almost at the death of his son, God, you see, sent an angel. An angel, you see, appeared to Hagar and, you see, and showed her a fountain of water. And it is because of that water that Ishmael drank and revived. And Ishmael was also blessed to be a 12 tribe nation. Dear brethren, all these things are given in the Bible in Genesis 23, 24, 25th chapter. So I request everybody to kindly go through after the class these particular points and the PDF notes also which we are sending. So yeah, just see, as Ishmael was suffering in the wilderness and he was almost at the point of death, so parallelly what is happening is that Isaac is growing and the wedding of Isaac is getting prepared. A bride was selected. Her name is Rebecca. And how did, you see, Abraham select Rebecca? He did not want his son to have a woman from his own nation, very far from a nation. You see, so he went to Laban's house, you see, and he saw a beautiful virgin and the name was Rebecca. And you see, how did Eliezer identify Rebecca last week? He saw now. Can anybody tell me how did Eliezer identify Rebecca, that she was a blessed bride for Isaac? Can anybody tell me? Peter brother, Santosh brother, can you tell me? What was the identification of Eliezer? Peter brother?
Sorry. I was not there.
Okay, no problem, brother. Okay. Santosh brother, any idea? Do you have?
ఎలియజర్ నే ప్రతి రేబికాలై రేబికానే చాలా ఇజాకు శ్రీమతి హో భనేర చాలా కసరి చిన్న భనేర సోధ్ను భాష కి ఉహాలి కే చాలా చిన్న థియో త కే చిన్న ద చిన్న భనేర సోధ్ను భా సంతో సార్
ఓకే సో నాట్ ఎ ప్రాబ్లం సో విల్ సీ సో ఇట్ వాస్ ఓన్లీ అపాన్ ద ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ రెబెకా గివింగ్ వాటర్ not only to Eliezer, but also to his 10 camels. We know that the camels usually, if they drink water, they rarely drink, but if they drink water, it's more than 10, this one's of buckets of water. So almost it was nearly around 500, buckets of water that Rebecca poured out for those camels. Imagine a virgin, a beautiful virgin, that is a very engaged girl. Will they do it? Nobody will do it. But here, that was a beautiful character identification of Rebecca. So that's how Eliezer selected Rebecca. And she traveled upon 10 camels to meet Isaac. So as soon as she met Isaac from far away, she saw Isaac and she got down from the camel and covered her face. So this way, what happened, if you see in the Bible, that both were married, Isaac and Rebecca. So their life continued. So there, parallelly, when Ishmael is suffering, here Isaac's marriage is getting place. So after all these things, after the marriage of Isaac, you see, the Bible says that Abraham married the third time. Mm-hmm. And this is more interesting because nobody would believe that Abraham could marry the third time, because first time itself he did not have any children. But the third time he married and he got 6 children. So let us read Genesis 25th chapter 1 and 2. Can anybody read brother? Peter brother, Santosh brother, can you read Genesis 25 chapter 1 and 2?
Genesis 26, chapter 1 and 2.
25.
Oh,
25th
sorry.
chapter, verse 1 and 2.
Okay, chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Isabak, and Suha.
Very good. So here you see Abraham married the third time, and her wife name was Ketura, and she begat him six sons, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. Six sons. So anybody, you see, it will be very difficult for them to believe, because how is it possible? But yet it happened. So what significance does it got, Ibadan? What is the real meaning of this one? Why God has given so intricate things to us in the Bible? We all know that Old Testament things, what all things happened there, were the image of the things to come. So image of the things to come in the New Testament. So all the things of the Old Testament have got significance in the New Testament. So that signifies Christ. So we already know that Abraham signifies God and Isaac signifies Jesus. Then, whom does the wife of Abraham represent? Does it mean that God has wife? What does it mean? Dear brethren, you see, the clue for it is given by Apostle Paul in Galatians 4 chapter 22 to 24. Okay, let us read Galatians 4 chapter 22 to 24. Santosh brother, can you read Galatians 4 chapter verses 22 to 24? Is it possible for you to read in English? Santosh brother? Or else do you want to read in Nepali? Okay, Peter brother, can you read?
Classy.
Galatians 4:22-24.
4:22 to 24. Galati. Okay. Chapter 4.
22.
22. Okay.
From
for
22
it
to
is written that for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory for this are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, who gained dread and bondage, which is Agar.
Very good. So here it clearly says that Abraham had two sons, one from the bondwoman, one from the free woman. We know that the two sons are Isaac and Ishmael. The one born from the free woman was from Sarah. Sarah begat Isaac. So he was a free woman. Then, but there was a bond woman also, and it was Hagar. She was a servant. And through her, Ishmael was born. What does Apostle Paul say here? Apostle Paul says that these are two covenants. You see? So what is the meaning of covenant? If you see in the Bible, the covenant means agreement. You see, these days, the name for the covenant is called as agreement. Now, why did God make an agreement? You see, now what is the meaning of agreement in the Bible? Now, why do God make covenants? You see, dear brethren, the first covenant which God made was with Adam. You see, that's given in Hosea 6:7. That God made a covenant with Adam, and Adam broke that covenant. And we all know थर्ड कवनेंट, सॉरी द सेकंड कवनेंट विच गॉड मेड वॉज विथ नोवा व्हेन द होल वर्ल्ड वॉज डिस्ट्रॉयड बाय द फ्लड. यू सी आफ्टर द फ्लड गॉड केप्ट ए रेनबो इन द स्काई एंड मेड अ कवनेंट विथ नोवा सेइंग henceforth I will not destroy this entire world by a flood. So that was the second covenant. You see, and the token of covenant was a rainbow. And the third covenant, you see, that God made was with Abraham. That Abraham was ready to sacrifice even his son Isaac. God swore upon himself and said, in thy seed shall all the nations of this world be blessed. But I will definitely bless everybody. So this was the important covenant which God made with Abraham. So telling that the whole world will be blessed. See, now the name for this covenant which God made with Abraham, you see, we can give various names. Like for example, the first name that could be given is Abrahamic covenant. Why? Because it was made with Abraham and God. And the second name can be given as unconditional covenant. Unconditional covenant means what? Generally, if you make agreement, we have some conditions, no? Like for example, if you take any house for rent, they'll put in agreement. This house we're giving on rent for what condition? That they would stay as a family and every month on 5th, they'll pay the rent. So these are the conditions. But here, if you see, when God made a covenant with Abraham, there was no condition. God did not put any condition saying that if you do this, I will do that. No. You are already ready to offer your son Isaac. So henceforth, I will definitely bless you. He took a oath upon himself. That means it was unconditional. No condition was required at all. That means if the people do good or bad, I'll definitely do good. That's what it means. And third one, just because God made a oath upon himself, he swore upon himself, this can be called as an oath-bound covenant. And just imagine, this covenant also signifies grace. Grace means what? There is no condition that you should do this, you should do that. Even if you do, if you don't do, you shall sure be blessed. So that's grace. Dear brethren, therefore, God made this covenant. Now, before going into this subject very detailedly, one point we should remember and know what is the difference between the promise and the agreement. Okay. Now, what is the meaning of promise? Now, what is the meaning of agreement? Can anybody tell me? Peter brother, can you tell me what is the meaning of promise and agreement? Is there any difference between agreement and promise, brother?
Promise and agreement. Okay, promise is the things which is which in future is it has to come given by other.
Okay, good.
And what another?
What is the meaning of agreement?
Agreement is the things recently, presently, they just make an agreement. Promise is for future. Agreement is present.
Present. Okay. Good. But the good thoughts. But one more thing I would like to add is that, you see, promise. We also make promise, no? I promise you that I will definitely give you back your 10,000 rupee. I'll promise you that I'll give you next week your 10,000 rupee back. But I might not keep up a promise also. You see, that I might tell, no, I could not give you. I'll give you one more week later. So that's the promise, sir. But agreement means what? Once if you make agreement that you should give 10,000 after 1 week, means that is a confirmation, no diversion, no changes at all. Dear brethren, you see, similarly, what God made with Abraham was not a promise. You see, but it was a binding agreement. That means definitely happen. Therefore, when we, you see, we do a lot of agreement, no? When we get a new vehicle, kind of agreement document is given from the company. When you buy a house or property, document is given. Why everybody don't promise? Oh, I promise you that this land is yours. They can tell it in words now. Because they may change. Therefore, dear brethren, so now let us come to this subject, three covenants. Okay? This is the background. Now let us come to the subject. Now, first of all, Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4 chapter, thus the wives of Abraham represents the covenants. Okay, first of all, now three wives are there. So which are the three covenants? First thing, you see, Hagar. So Hagar is which covenant? What does Apostle Paul say? Read Galatians 4:24, brother. Peter, brother, please read Galatians 4:24. Huh?
Galati 4:24. Okay, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar.
Which is Agar? See. Here, Apostle Paul gives that Hagar is a covenant. So which is that covenant? It tells that represents the Mount Sinai. Now, which covenant did God make with Israel at Mount Sinai? You see, which is the law that gave, you see, through Moses, the Ten Commandments. You see, so here, that law, covenant, which God made with people of Israel, that is what is represented by Hagar. Now imagine, as soon as Abraham married Hagar, immediately who was born? Ishmael was born. So similarly, once when God made the law covenant, you see, immediately the Jewish nation was born under the law. Everybody came under the law. As a Ishmael was with Hagar. But Apostle Paul also tells one more thing. You see, that Abraham had two sons, it seems, two wives. That means two covenants also there. Now, who is Sarah? What does Sarah represent? Read Galatians 4:26, brother. Read, brother. Galatians 4:26.
But Jerusalem, which is above Israel, which is the mother of us all.
So there is one more, you see, a covenant, Sarah. And she's a free woman. She's not a servant woman. So what does Apostle Paul here say? So there is a Jerusalem which is above, which is free. Who is the mother of us all, it seems. That means Jerusalem is compared to a mother. Now, which is the heavenly Jerusalem? You see? We all know it is mentioned in Revelation 21:2. Apostle John said, no, I saw heavenly Jerusalem which come down from heaven. Read, brother. Revelation 21:2, brother. Read, brother. Can you read? Revelation 21:2. Peter, brother, can you read?
Revelation
21:2.
Okay. Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Husband, see, heavenly Jerusalem come out from heaven. So, this is the bride of Jesus Christ. That means, there is heavenly Jerusalem. Which is that heavenly Jerusalem? That is none other than the church. Read, brother. Hebrews 12:23, brother. Hebrews 12:23, brother.
Hebrews
12:23.
Okay, Hebrews 12:23. to the general assembly in charge of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just man made perfect.
See, brother, clearly it says, brother, the church of firstborn, which are written in heaven. That means here the heavenly Jerusalem represents the church. You see, who are promised the heavenly salvation. Therefore, here that Sarah and Isaac represents, you see, the covenant originally God had made, and under it, you see, Isaac was born. So this represents the church. Read, brother. Galatians 4:28, brother. Galatians 4:28.
Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
See, brother, very clearly given now.
Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
We are like Isaac, it seems. Therefore, this represents, you see, the church. You see, therefore, remember, Abraham, what was he promised? He was promised two types of blessings. I'll make your seed as a stand of the seashore and stars of the sky. So here the stars of the skies represents by Sarah and Sarah's child Isaac. Now remember Abraham's story. Abraham loved Sarah very much than Hagar. So similarly, God loved this covenant. Which covenant? The oath-bound covenant. I made a promise upon myself that in thy seed all the nations should be blessed. That was the most loving of covenants. That was the most dear of all the covenants to God, because he loved it so much. And you see, dear brethren, there what happened? As Abraham and Sarah were married, there was no result. No child was born. So immediately, when God promised that in thy seed I shall bless all the nations of the world, was the whole world blessed? No. There was no result. There was no chances and no sight of blessings at all. No world was blessed. It remained the same. So time went on. So as the time went on, so what happened there? Abraham married the second time. Who? Immediately he married Hagar. So as soon as Hagar was born, as soon as Hagar was married, Ishmael was born. So similarly, once when this promise was delayed, God added the law covenant in between. So once law covenant came, the people of Israel, you see, they came, the 12 tribes of nation, they came into existence. But what did they do? They began to persecute Isaac. So the Jewish people persecuted Jesus and killed him. Read Galatians 4:29 and 30, brother. Galatians 4:29 and 30, brother.
But as then he, what was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what said the scripture, cast out the born woman and her son, for the son of the born woman shall not be higher with the son of the free woman.
See, that's those days, how Ishmael persecuted Isaac, even so it is now. The true church is being persecuted, so the both can't live together. So what did God do there? Told him to divorce. So similarly, God divorced this law covenant. That means he put away the law covenant. You see, but once the Jewish people were cast out, once the law covenant was, You see, completely cast out. What happened? There was a very tough time for Ishmael and Hagar. Ishmael was almost at the death, but at the dying moment, he cried and Lord saved him. So similarly, today we can see that the nation of Israel is in a very tough situation, very warlike situation, almost at the verge of death. But will God leave the nation of Israel? No. As God showed an angel, and through that angel, he got the water from the well, and God saved and became a total tribe. Similarly, the new Jewish nation also shall be blessed. You see, they have suffered a lot during the Second World War, during the Holocaust, during the, you see, Hitler's reign. You see, dear brethren, but yet God did not leave them. God would save them by giving them the water, the truth. You see, and they shall also be saved. Now read Zechariah 14, 2 and 3, brother. Zechariah 14, chapter 2 and 3, brother.
Zechariah 14.
2 and 3.
Two to four.
Two and three. Verse 2 and 3.
Okay, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses refelled, and the women revised, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of the battle.
See, what does the Bible say? In the future, all nations shall gather against Israel. Half of the Israel shall go into captivity. Israel will be in the verge of complete destruction. But how will God save them? As he saved Israel in the olden days. How God fought for Israel. How God saved Hagar and Ishmael. Almost a dying moment. Water was given. Similarly, the whole Israel will be saved. This is the future. Now let us come to this picture again. Here, as Ishmael was suffering, Isaac's marriage was getting place. So similarly, today, Israel is suffering a lot, but the church selection is going on. Who is the church? We are the church. So, selection is going on. The truth is going all over the world. But as soon as Isaac and Rebecca get married, Abraham marries for a third time. What does this signify? Marrying the third time and begetting six children. That means there is going to be a third covenant. Now, if you tell that Abraham beget three children at the age of nearly 120 years, will anybody believe? No. Similarly, God is going to make a beautiful covenant, the covenant of Keturah in the 1,000 years. And that is a very new thing to the whole world. Read, brother. Jeremiah 31st chapter, 31 to 34, brother. Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 to 34, brother.
Jeremiah
31st chapter
31st, okay.
31 to 34. First
chapter 31st verse
31 to 34.
31 to 34, okay. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the houses of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt.
Here what does God say? I'm going to make a new covenant. But this new covenant is not going to be like the old covenant. The old law covenant, which they came out from Israel, which they came out Mount Sinai, they broke it. None of the Israel could keep it. Now next continue with what does he say? Huh?
Okay, to bring them of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the houses of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And will be
see,
God.
This covenant, brother, will be different. First time he had given upon the tablets, the Ten Commandments. But this covenant, now what is going to happen in the future, God is going to write in the hearts. How God is going to write in the hearts? What is the changes? You see, continue, it says.
And see, will be their God. Okay, sorry.
Read, please, please read.
And will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man this neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Sibda, what is there? God will write it upon their hearts in such a way there is no need for one to go and tell that you should know God. From the least even to the greatest, everybody shall know the Lord, it seems, for that. Now, this is the new covenant. Therefore, the old law covenant and the new covenant is different. You see, Hagar is different when compared to Keturah. Hagar was a servant, but Keturah is not a servant. You know, six children were born to Keturah. What does the six children represent? That means that represents the 6,000 years of mankind who lived, who will be resurrected in Christ's second coming. They will all come to the knowledge of Christ. Now, if we take this one, what will the people say? They will laugh. How is this possible? How will the whole world be resurrected? How will the whole world come back and accept Christ as a savior? You see, they will laugh. Dear brethren, how they laughed at Abraham. How is it possible for him to get married and to Keturah and beget six sons? It was a surprise. Similarly, the whole world, for them, a 1,000 years salvation from Christ is a surprise. They will laugh. But that's what the name Keturah means. Keturah means incense. A beautiful, you see, a good smelling aroma. You see, in the 1,000 years, imagine with all the dead coming back to life and living on the same earth in the same flesh. What good it will be. What beautiful it will be. This is what God has promised. So, here, the three wives represent the three important covenants. And the three children born through them represents the three category of people. First, Isaac represents the church. Ishmael represents the Israel. The six sons of Keturah represents the whole rest of mankind. So, dear brethren, so this how in the Bible, the type and antitype in Abraham's life is beautifully given. Okay? So, if you have any doubts, any questions, you can ask. So, I'll be sending the notes to you and a YouTube link. So, request you to please go through it. So, any questions you